As a new mom, I have to tell you my perspective on our scripture story this morning has changed a bit in the last month or so. My beloved Augustine is so clearly divine. When her normally unfocused eyes stumble on my face and she looks at me, it feels like God has decided to look right at me. She has no social skills about staring. She just holds my face in her gaze until I receive her fully. Her toes are perfectly edible. Her cheeks also. Her presence dissolves the chaos of the outside world into white noise. And when she falls asleep, curled up on my chest all warm and snuggly, her feet nestled under her and her hands folded neatly under her chin, I feel heaven, God's realm in my body. She is joy incarnate, and I am ready to bend over and pay homage on my knees, just like the Magi. And at the same time, I have never felt so out of control, so scared of the weight of responsibility, or so vulnerable in my love. It doesn't help that I have never been so tired in my life. August's first 2 weeks alive, I didn't sleep more than a half an hour to an hour at a time because we had to feed her to get her back up to her birth weight. I have also never been so intimate with poop and pee and spit up. And that's a poetic way of saying I find myself finding remnants of spit up in my hair, and I've been on the receiving end of projectile sprayed fluids from all ends of her. And then there's this label, mom. One of you lovely Lindalians asked me on Christmas Eve morning how I was feeling about being a mom. I looked at her and said, I have no idea. I haven't had time to think on that kind of meta level. And yet internally, my breath caught. And I thought, holy bleep, I'm a mom. I don't know what to do about that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be a pastor and a mom and a whole person and all the other things the world wants of me. The presence of a baby, whether her name is August or his name is Jesus, is surely both divine mystical bliss and divine disruption of life as we know it. Jesus was born into a time not entirely unlike today. On the throne sat King Herod, history's most hysterical megalomaniac. How do you say that word? Megalomaniac? Did I get it right? According to one scholar. Another scholar said the scene of our scripture this way. Herod held a position of significance, but he hungered for more. His appetite for power left him vulnerable in his leadership, relationships, and life. So on that fateful day when the intellectuals from the East appeared in Jerusalem asking questions, it was a day of trepidation for all the people of Jerusalem. Imagine the expression in King Herod's face when his staff informed him of the erudite philosophers of wealth and status entering the city. The king might have believed he had finally arrived. Sadly, he learned the Magi were not inquiring about how to meet him. They were asking the natives, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. In an instant, the king's lifted head of arrogance declined as the rage of humiliation rose. Fear of losing control took over. End quote. Meanwhile, those Magi went on their way. Also, people with access to the center of power structures Yet they weren't threatened by the birth of the new king, the new Messiah, a new president, one might say, accountable not to this world, but to God. These magi were in the orbit of God's mystic presence already, following the signs of the stars they believed would lead them. As the poet Dante put it, God is the love that moves stars. I love that. The Magi weren't afraid to follow that love as it guided them to this new divine royalty. They took step after step, drawn further and further out of the familiar city and into the rural landscape of Bethlehem, where nobody of worldly significance would normally travel. And yet, a baby had just been born. A divine baby, a human baby, a baby like each and every one of us, and yet written in the stars to transform heaven and earth. On this Epiphany Sunday, the day we honor the arrival of the Magi at baby Jesus' birth and participate in their journey and their joy, I find myself strangely torn. Yeah, like that. I totally feel that way a lot. As a new mom, I can feel my way into both Herod and the Magi's reaction to the birth of this baby, this promised Messiah. And I don't mean to compare the impact of my reaction to that of King Herod or other power-hungry leaders we know, but just to recognize that the impulse lives in all of us. In the words of my ever-wise friend, fellow activist and body worker, Susan Raffo, capitalism, white supremacy, and all the systems of dominance that are aligned with them depend on disconnection and isolation. Disconnection and isolation. Disconnection and isolation deepen our need, our longing, and our hunger for a feeling of home. They can be linked to feelings of powerlessness or stuckness. They can feel never ending. When I read these words from Susan, I reflect on the two pathways of our scripture story and two very different possibilities or choices connected to them. Living in a world, our world, of disconnection and isolation, when we feel their symptoms of powerlessness, when we feel our world spin out of control, we can choose to grasp more tightly to whatever possibilities for control are nearest. For those with power like King Herod, that means hatching schemes to kill off threats to our thrones or our Twitter accounts. For the rest of us, that means hatching schemes to avoid any threats to our sense of self-sufficiency, or what my friend Susan calls our, quote, survival strategy around which disconnection becomes ingrained in our way of living as normal. And say that one more time. For the rest of us, that means hatching schemes to avoid any threats to our sense of self-sufficiency, or what my friend Susan calls survival strategy, around which disconnection becomes normal. In other words, we can keep numbing out on our drugs of choice, whether they be sugar, Netflix, news, alcohol, social media, the list goes on. We can keep justifying not asking for help. We can keep finding excuses for our behaviors that lead us over and over into isolation. Or we can choose to follow the star, like the Magi, toward the place our soul will find home. But that pathway requires the hard work of taking step by step down the unknown road toward reconnection. Susan talks about connection not as a thing we have or we don't have, But as a capacity, we grow in ourselves. I imagine it like a muscle that we have collectively let get a little flabby. Reconnection, she says, is about building our capacity for connection with ourselves, with our kin and community, with land and spirit, with our histories. In my spiritual language, I would say reconnection is about our capacity to notice God in each of these, ourselves, our kin, our community, the land and our histories, and bow down like the Magi in joy and homage. This is not a singular event, isolated to one Bible story or one moment of our lives of epiphany. It is spiritual weight training. Did you know that the goal of weight training is always to fail, which means to get to the point where you can't do it? That's where strength grows. I think divine disruption is like that too. The strength of connection with God grows at the edge of our failure. This connection grows each time we dare to share our vulnerability, our messy places, our spit-up covered hair and sleep-deprived frog voices, our existential fears with each other. After all, didn't God give us herself in the form of a squiggly, entirely incapable of taking care of himself, baby? Arab American poet Naomi Shihab Nye gave me the modern interpretation of this epiphany scripture story that if I could just give you a 2-minute sermon, would have been my entire sermon this week. So I leave you once again with this poem called Shoulders and this vision of Epiphany. A man crosses the street in the rain, stepping gently, looking 2 times north and south because his son is asleep on his shoulder. No car must splash him. No car drive too near to his shadow. The man carries the world's most sensitive cargo, but he's not marked. Nowhere does his jacket say, fragile, handle with care. His ear fills up with breathing. He hears the hum of a boy's dream deep inside him. We're not going to be able to live in this world if we're not willing to do what he's doing with one another. The road will only be wide. The rain will never stop falling. May we carry each other towards the star, Lindale. May we carry each other towards joy. Amen.